Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Over Sharon Show. We have another guest today. We are just killing it with guests. I think yes. Sharon's sick of me. I think that's what's going on.
No.
I'm just kidding. But before we get into that, we're going to start the show like we always do with a quote. Today's quote is from Rumi. A candle never loses any of its light while lighting up another candle. And again, that's by Rumi.
Really cool.
Yeah, that's, I love that. Yeah, I thought it was really apropos for today because of what our guest does, but we'll get into that. You're going to pull a card, Sharon?
Yeah, I have this giant
Thoth deck.
And that I was same thinking deck. I have another deck over there. I don't know if I want to use that one, but what do you guys think? Thoth?
It's up to you. Were you feeling like you wanted to use the other one? Like, was it calling your name?
I kind of feel like I wanted to use the other one.
Yeah, grab it. Please do. Sharon. We get to see your whole outfit now.
Listen to the calling.
Got some shorts on. And that nice Phoenix.
Yeah.
Nice. I got tan shorts on too, actually. I don't know if you can see them. Nope.
Pretty soon you're going to wear a kilt.
Oh, yeah. I ordered a kilt for hiking.
You ordered one?
Yeah. It'll be here tomorrow. Are you kidding me? There's hiking to be done.
Shut up, dude.
Yeah, it's like a heavy duty. It's made out of like the same material that military camouflage stuff is made out of, like that ripstop heavy duty. I'm really excited about it. I found it online, and it's actually camouflage too, because that's like the best color. So people are going to see me. They're going to see this with a kilt, and they're just going to be like, "What?" And my stick that I have, my giant staff, and they're just going to be like, "What the hell?"
And it's like a camo kilt, isn't it?
Yeah. That's why it's going to be like, "What?" I'm excited.
Wow.
I used to know a guy when I would go backpacking all the time. He wore some kind of like, I guess it's like a kilt, like a backpacking. It was more like a skirt. But he wore, because he walked so many miles, we did like 16 or 20 miles a day. And there's like a lot of less friction on the insides of your leg and everything. So I figured I'd give it a shot and see how it goes since I do so much hiking.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, the Two of Pentacles, and this is the Universal Weight deck.
Ooh.
It's hard to see and
get it. Yeah. I like how you can see the ships in the background. That's a really cool one. Plus, there's a little infinity symbol in there between the Two of Pentacles.
The lemniscate or whatever.
Yeah. You want to call it. Yeah, I like that. Good card.
Well, I see the waves in the background. They're kind of crazy waves. And the ships are just chilling, doing their thing.
Yeah, what that always made me think of every time I saw that, it's kind of like this guy is out here, because pentacles obviously have to do with, a lot of times they could do with your career or your family life or, you know, the realm itself. And so when you have the two, it's kind of like starting to juggle. And there's all these distractions in the background, like all the ships. He could be going out, like exploring the world. And he could be, I mean, there's ways you could look at it also with the water and what that symbolizes. But on one level, it's kind of like he just has his back to that. And he's concerned about what is important to him and what's going on. He doesn't care about anything else that's back there. He's like very focused.
Two of Pentacles. Any thoughts about that, Michelle?
Yeah, I was focused on the infinity with the pentacles inside of it and how it would be so easy to shift the balance of it. And that you kind of always have that choice to where are you going to focus energy or where, which is going to, how is it going to balance out? I don't know. It's like that card is screaming balance to me right now. Yeah. Or how to find balance or the choices within that.
But right. I love there's
far off in the distance. Like there's, I mean, it's hard to see on my screen, but it looks like there's maybe waves. Like bigger waves, right?
Yeah, there's waves and two ships. And they look like crazy waves too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess our like a two card, does that usually mean like a choice?
It usually does for me. That's usually how it comes in for me.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like it's like a choice related type of thing. And like you said, like the look on his face too is kind of like, like, I don't know if you can see it, but it's kind of like, what do I choose? Which one of these two things? Yeah, balance. I like that. Do you want to pull a card for us?
Me? Sure. I'll pull a card. I have the Crystal Visions Tarot. Looks like this.
Ooh.
I think it's different than the one I used last time.
Speaking of last time, while you shuffle, Brandon met Michelle. How did you meet Michelle? Do tell.
Yes, I did meet Michelle. And I get we didn't really technically introduce our guest. This is Michelle, everybody. Hi.
Hi.
I met Michelle on Instagram because when I was doing the Terrible Podcast with Ashley, we had a time where there was kind of like we took a pause in between in the middle of 2020. And when we came back and relaunched the show, we were looking for guests and we had a bunch of followers on Instagram. So we hit up people that were like-minded that were into the tarot, and she became one of our guests. And from there, we became good friends. And then I included her in a Telegram group that I have a chat going. And then from there, we all ended up in Sedona. So yes, everybody, Michelle went to Sedona with Sharon and I. So we've all met in real life.
In real life. IRL, people.
Exactly.
It's so funny when I see that because I actually type things out and I rarely ever use the shortcuts.
Almost like typing it out is easier. The shortcuts I have to think too hard.
I know. Because sometimes I'm like, wait, what? Oh, okay.
Sharon's
there's
like,
some that I still forget. Yeah, like, well, when LOL first came out, I was like, what? Seriously, people? And then I started using it. I was like, really?
So addicting. Yeah, I liked it when it first came out because people would always take me so seriously in chats. And I'm like, hello. Now I just say ha ha, though, because I think it kind of got played out.
Yeah, at the time there was a ha ha. I would do the ha ha all the time, or the he he, H E H E. I used to use H E H E all the time.
Or the tee he?
No, I just said he he.
No teehee?
Yeah, I know teehee. No, I didn't do the teehee.
What was the other teehee? One too? Oh, ja-ja, if you're Spanish.
Oh, yeah. Ha-ha.
In Thailand, they use the number 5 because the number 5 is ha. So you're going ha, ha, ha.
That's funny. Yeah. Well, in Arabic, kind of off topic, but similar, they use the 7 for a similar sound, which is ha, which is not quite ha, but it's ha. It's deeper in the throat. So they use the number 7 for that.
Oh,
so that's funny.
They're like, ha. You're so funny. Ha. That's not Arabic.
Got the card.
What you got?
I got the 6 pentacles. Ooh. It's a pentacle kind of day.
But it's a pentacle kind of thing because we've been pulling pentacles, Brandon, haven't we?
We have been, yeah.
We've been pulling a lot of pentacles. We pulled the 3, we pulled the 4.
Now we're
at the 4, then a 3, and we pulled a 2. So we're going down. We're going backwards. except now, yeah, you pulled a 6. That's 6. Awesome.
That's okay.
Yeah.
What are 6s about, Brandon?
Well, 6s are about establishing a balance because it comes right after a 5, and 5s are an even
chaos.
It's like a chaos thing. So, and 6 also represents, it's kind of like they say the number of the beast, right? So, but I don't think it's anything.
The number of man.
Yeah, it's more of the number of man because, well, 5 really represents man because the arms, the legs, you know, the Vitruvian man that you see, the pentacle. In a pentacle, but a 6 is kind of like the higher level of that, I guess you could say, because it's like when you're attaining to a higher level or higher mode of being.
Okay.
Both cards feel like balance to me. So apparently balance is in order.
Yes. And I'm a Libra, so I'm all about the balance.
Yeah, you are.
And Brandon, it was funny because we have episodes that we've recorded. So we're kind of a couple weeks ahead. So I was just listening to the episode that we're going to do at some point, and Brandon's talking about, dang it, I just lost my train of thought. What'd you say about pentacles, about the card?
Balance.
Oh, no. Okay. Libra. We talked about Libra. So Brandon was like, oh, I don't remember my rising. And then as you said it, I'm like, wasn't it Libra?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, I'm a Libra and you're a Libra rising. So you totally forgot while we were talking to Grounded Extrex.
Yeah, that's Aaron right. James. It's funny because when I was going back to make the clip, I came across that part and I'm like, fuck Libra, duh.
Yeah. I did too. But while we were talking to him, it didn't dawn on me. I was totally forgot.
Yeah. It's different when you're in the zone, when you're recording. That's what a lot of people don't understand. You're just kind of like stuck in this whole, we're on, man, we're going.
Yeah. It's live, and we're like, zoomed in on something.
I think we do a good job though, because we actually sound, I think that's why people that they always give us good comments. I wasn't going to say because we're so good, but because we get the good feedback, it's because it is such a natural flow that we have back and forth, especially with our guests. We just make them feel so comfortable, you know. They forget about that a little bit, which is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our guests do tend to forget that they're like being, that they're on basically recording.
Yeah.
So it's cool.
I have a story that ties into the labor thing if you want to hear it.
Oh, please do.
It's a Thai massage story, actually. So one of my fellow Thai massage practitioners, she was telling me how she has a friend who's a Libra and she was working on her. And every time she found a spot on one side of her body, it would be the exact same way on the other side of her body. And she goes, you are definitely a Libra, aren't you? She's like, your whole entire body is in balance with, even where there's tension, was like all totally balanced on both sides of her body. And I was like, oh, that's like rare. That does not happen with clients. Usually we have a dominant side or like a side where there's injury protecting, or like to have a body where even the tension is in balance. I was like, does that mean it's all in balance then? And it's like, doesn't cause,
then it's okay. It cancels itself out. Like, you know,
energetic thing too. So it's like, it's still blocking stuff. We got to move it.
That's so funny.
That was so fascinating.
Very fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Thai massage, this is Michelle who taught us a little bit of Thai massage when we went to Sedona. So that was awesome.
Yeah, you guys did great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You want to talk a little bit about Thai massage and maybe how you got into it?
Yeah. So, and I'm actually, my training that I did last week was, it was a sort of an extension of Thai massage too, which I can talk about a little bit. It was an accident, really. My sister and her husband had took an intro class on Valentine's Day, and we were hanging out at my parents' place, and my sister was like, I have to show you this thing that Dave and I did. It was so cool. And she starts working on my hamstrings. I was like, I don't know what this magic is, because my hamstrings used to be just locked up tight. Like, I don't know what this magic that you're showing me is, but I need to know how to do it. And she's like, oh, good, me too. And so we took an intro class, same one that she took, but just took it again to see. And I was like, yep, I'm all in. I want to learn how to do this. So we fast tracked through the training, and it changed my entire life. It's been like an incredible, I used to like just stuff everything into my tissues, which, I mean, that's what we do, right? We put our issues in our tissues and it blocks our energy. And then we find dis-ease in the body, which eventually leads to disease in the body. And I don't know, man, it changed everything. And traveling to Thailand to study with the teachers over there, that was like, talk about a humbling, learn a lot, realizing you kind of want to show up in the world in a different way, kind of an experience. It was incredible. And it's led me to a million other modalities that have also changed my world, to the point where I'm actually backing off on my Thai massage clients and incorporating all these other things in, because I kind of at some point have to pick and choose. I only have so much time and energy to put into things. So I'm not getting rid of it altogether. I can't imagine it ever being completely out of my life. But, and the training that I just took. So in Thai massage, we work energy lines, a lot of, you know, like nadis and sen. Well, it's not nadis. I mean, it's sen lines, and like Thai massage sen lines are different than Chinese medicine, or different than, you know, they all have their own points in the ways they work it. But this particular training it's called Tak Sen, and it's basically like a wooden mallet or hammer that's called a cone, and then a chisel type wooden tool that is called a limb. And you take and you tap, tap, tap on the send lines or on the muscles, and it creates like this rhythm. So it's sound healing. It works with the tissue. Ooh. And it was the craziest, like I got home from the first night and I was so wired. I couldn't sleep. I was up all night. I was like, I am so energized. And I feel so, and I had felt super depleted. I had just been sick and wasn't feeling good. And I got home from that training. I mean, I was recovered, but like still depleted, trying to regenerate my energy. And it was like, it was incredible. And I'm just thinking, it's such a subtle, I mean, it can be more intense, but it was such a subtle, like we're all learning. We're not like hammering in super hard or anything, right? We're just tap, tap, tapping on these send lines. And I mean, my feet were open, energy was tingling all through my body. And I just thought, I can't believe how powerful all these practices are. And the fact that they're spiritual and they're living traditions, like you don't find manuals on Taksen. It's not a thing. And it's not even a necessarily, well, it's not part of the tradition of Thai massage. My teacher was saying that it came from like working in the farming fields and them needing to take care of their bodies. They had to release the tension so they could go back and work. And it was like, I think she said it was like originated in Myanmar maybe, or somewhere like that. So I just, the whole thing is fascinating and so, so cool. And it was super like in sync that I didn't realize until she said something. And I was like, okay, so July, it was just this last week, July 11 years ago is when I took my intro to training with her. So, and it was the same teacher, my same intro to Thai teacher, 11 years later, learning Taksen in the same month. And I was like, yeah, this is why I'm where I'm supposed to be. Everything just keeps coming full circle. It's so cool.
That is
really cool. So how long was it before you said you learned it about 11 years ago? How long before you started to do your own practice and help people with it?
I mean, honestly, as soon as I was done with the training, which I was on the fast track, it took me about a year. But I will say my practice when I first started was, I hate to say dismal, but it was logical. And in my mind, cause I was still in the foundation of learning the how to do it before you can be in it. And I was still in the learning how to do it. So I would do more using a sequence or, I mean, I still listen to their body for sure, but now like sequence, I can't, like, I don't even know what that is. I can't work in a sequence. I'm like, oh, here's this thing here I found. Okay. Let's hang out and see how we soften that. And then, you know, or if somebody complains of a low back thing, I'm probably not going to start there because often that's inner thighs and hips and, you know, quads and all of that stuff. So you just kind of learn how bodies work. And but again, I never make that assumption. And a person who came to me last week and comes to me this week might have a totally different body. And I learned the hard way over time that I can't assume that just because their low back is always tight, that that's going to be the problem today. It might be a totally different thing. And to really just get into my heart and soul, so to speak, and work that way so that I'm showing up present and listening to what their body and what their energy is telling me. And intuitive was not a thing for me when I first started. That was really hard for me. And now I can't stop the intuition from coming in, and I wouldn't want to. I probably could. I mean, I believe that I could, but why? Like, it gives me so much information and it connects me on such a different level. And your quote, to circle back to that, sorry, I might be bouncing all over the place, but fine. It all connects. That quote is perfect. I just taught a Reiki training online for the first time. And one of the things we talk about is managing our energy, and that when you're in Reiki, you're really just in Reiki and you're receiving too. And if you leave your energy work sessions feeling depleted, then you're not grounding, you're not protecting. You need to figure that out, because you should never leave feeling depleted. Like, it really is that flame. It rejuvenates, and you are the generator, and it comes from that space. And if you're living in that space and that highest self and light and love and all that good stuff, you don't feel depleted. And it's so powerful. It's crazy. And I was super skeptical about doing it online. I was like, yeah, I don't know. I've never given an attunement online. This feels, you know, strange. I don't know how I feel about this Reiki online stuff. And then we did it, and I was like, okay, so you can't make this stuff up. Not that I needed any more validation of what this stuff is, but like, I get it every time. I'm just like, okay, I'm going to just stop. I'm still in awe and wonder of all of these things. It surprises me in the most beautiful ways every single time I work. It's so cool.
It's very synchronistic to what, like, just the stuff I've been listening to and watching and stuff. And Brandon too, we got a tuning fork.
Oh, cool.
Which I have right here.
Oh my.
And It's just amazing because I've been watching the lady who, I guess, not invented, but like got these tuning forks. I guess she kind of invented them because they're different alloy. And she just like tried to get the best of the best that she could created so that it would work for lots. Yeah, it just, the ones that she was using just weren't meeting her requirements after a while. So she just created these. And her name's Eileen McCusick. I think Spoons has told you about her. And her. And
I
her
love that. Works. I love that. Yeah. She was like following the intuition, like listening, saying something's not quite right. Something needs to change. We got to make it different. We have to figure that out and then do it.
Yeah. Have you watched any of her videos? Because I've been watching some.
I have.
Oh, okay. So I've been watching some of her interviews. And so like the intuition stuff that you're talking about, I heard her talking about stuff like that. You know, you just, you use the tuning fork and you just use your intuition to like, if the fork says stop where you're at, then stop. And then wait a little bit, see how it progresses and then keep moving. Like, so it's just really interesting because she talks about how like, everybody has this intuition, but we just don't, maybe we don't use it. We don't recognize it. And we can, if we start just to practice, we just have to start practicing. And I kind of feel like I'm the type of person who doesn't necessarily, like, I've never had those weird, like feelings of intuition that I like, not as much as I see other people. Like maybe I have, right? But I don't recognize them as such. So I didn't think of myself as one to have much intuition in that, like in the way, like this kind of stuff, right? I guess, I mean, I was pretty good about reading people, but I never thought about that as that, you know what I mean?
Do you remember when we were driving to Sedona?
I was going to bring up that story. Do you want to share?
Oh, you can tell it. Go ahead.
Okay.
Well, I mean, talk about reading people.
So I didn't know I did this apparently, or maybe with certain people. So I picked up Michelle from the airport because she came into Phoenix, and everybody else was coming in via caravan and driving into Sedona. So I picked up Michelle. And we headed up to Sedona, which is a couple of hours north of here. So as we're going up and we're getting to the place where we're supposed to meet Brandon and the others, Brandon actually said, let's meet at the spring where people get water. And I was like, that's perfect. That I've been wanting to go there. So we're heading up and we're in Oak Creek Canyon. So we're getting close to bridges and cliffs, and we're like on the edges of, you know, and for me, it's totally like, I'm not afraid of heights and I'm totally cool. Like even going fast around curves and stuff like that, like it doesn't faze me at all, but I picked up her energy. I didn't even realize I was doing it. I picked up Michelle's energy because it's like when people say stuff like, oh, I'm not so sure about these, you know, heights, or, you know, we're getting really close to some cliffs, you know, and I just thought to myself, you know, I don't know how that feels to be, you know, to not be afraid, but just to have some level of worry about it. So I wasn't really mentally worried, but then I just got this sensation, like I started slowing down. I told her, is the funny part. I'm like, this is not really like me, but I'm really slowing down and I'm not quite sure why, but because we were going to go over a bridge and everything. And she was like, okay, can I do this? Can I do this? And I don't know how, but that energy was like, I was picking up on it and I was slowing down. I was like, this is not like me. I don't know why I'm all of a sudden like, just a little bit like not nervous, but I feel something different. And she's like, are you picking up my energy? And I'm like, am I? Is that what I'm doing?
Yeah, I know. I'm well aware of my fear of heights. It's way better than it used to be. And I totally felt confident and trusted your driving, but it doesn't matter. It's an irrational fear that I have. It's they tell me it's past life stuff, which makes perfect sense. You know, and I was like, okay, I'm fine. But you said something and I was like, I'm white knuckling, but I'm fine. Like, I trust you. I'm all about taking curves fast and all that kind of stuff, but heights, I'm just like my hands sweat just us talking about it. Like, it's just one of those things. My knees go weak. My hands start sweating. I'm like, I don't love them. So it just cracked me up, because what you were describing was exactly how I was feeling. And I was like, oh, that, I'm like, girl, you are super tapped in. And I'm sorry, I'll put my bubble up a little stronger, because I'm not trying to, like, you drive, I'll protect my energy. You put up your boundaries, I'll put up mine, and we'll see if it gets better. But yeah, I don't love heights. They're not my friend.
Yeah. And it's funny, because there was a point in time where you stayed back at the cabin and you were taking a rest, whatever night that was. And the rest of us went out to grab dinner, and I was fine, like, driving around those curves at night, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So as an, you know, when you feel like other people's energies, empath, whatever you want to call it, my question is always, is this mine? Cause it happens to me a lot. I pick up on those subtle energies. And if you don't know that, it makes for an exhausting life. And if you do know that, you can simply ask if it's yours, and then you send love and you're good, you know, cause if it's not yours, you don't have to take it on. You don't claim it as your own.
Yeah.
Which changes everything. But intuition, I mean, like, you feel it viscerally in your body, but people don't realize that. So I think people get intuitive hits all the time. But if they're not connected to what that feels like in their body, they might just think, oh, I have an itch here. Oh, why do I have the goosebumps? Or, oh, I have a little bit of a gut ache. Or, oh, my head is hurting. Or, I feel this pressure right here. You know, but you don't attach it to the fact that it's actually an intuitive hit or some sort of a divine download. And so you don't know. Right. But then when you start knowing, when you really start feeling it, then it's like, then, and once you start noticing it, at least for me, my journey, it's like, once I started noticing it, then it gets louder. And the more I do, the more I teach Reiki, the more I do that's intuitive work and energy healing and all those things, the louder it gets, the more information I get. And it's like, in my choose yourself classes, or really any classes, I find, like, when I'm talking to people and, like, it'll come in and I end up doing this, and, like, I'm just like, I'll be talking to them and they just know that that's my sign. Like, this is not like my mind talking. This is my soul talking, or my heart talking. Like, this is a different kind of a connection.
The download.
Yeah. And they just know that, like, oh, I should pay attention to this. This is my guides and her guides. And we're going to, or however that resonates with you, my higher self, her higher self. Like, I'm not attached to the words around it. It's
right.
It's the connection, and that,
right,
it means something different than, like, this isn't coming from me. I think old me, like, pre the first trip to Thailand, I'll say, was attached to control and fear, afraid of judgment and needing to fit in, and got all of my love and validation externally. Like, I needed that to feel whole within myself. Now it comes from within. Like, I like me. I don't expect everyone else to like me, and I don't wish them harm or anything like that, you know, but I don't need the world. I don't like everyone. I love everyone. Don't like everyone. So I don't need to, I don't have that same expectation. And it just is, it's so much easier to walk through life going, okay, I'm confident in who I am. I trust myself. I have great people in my life. I trust them too. And that means I'm not looking for external validation, which is huge. I just had this huge conversation with my son about this yesterday. Like, we tend to dive into these heart to hearts that lead us, aww, to these places. You know, he's like early 20s, and I don't know, we dived down these rabbit holes of self-love and figuring out who you are and living an authentic life and not taking away other people's powers by trying to fix things for them all the time. And, you know, like, it's one thing. Do you care if I tell a story? It's like a little
side
of our thing.
You oversharing show. That's what we do. You overshare.
And I know he's okay with it, because we've talked about, like, recording some sort of a podcast together. He goes, I just don't want to know I'm on camera. It's like, okay. But, you know, he'll talk about, like, if there's an uncomfortable situation in a group of friends, he'll go and talk to, you know, the friend and say, hey, do you want me to talk to so-and-so and see if I can help? you know, and I said, well, what if you showed up in a different way? What if you went and talked to the person and said, hey, you looked uncomfortable. And if you choose to take action on that, I'm your friend and I'm here to support you. But it's, you're putting it, the action on them. They get to be the one to choose if they want to stand up for themselves or not, or change a situation versus you trying to fix something for it. Like, don't be a martyr, man. Just, you know, like a lot, empower them to do it for themselves. That gives them, like, that will change their life for the best. If you can encourage people to step in their own power and choose for themselves what's best for them. But also knowing that they have the support, like, right? A whole team of people behind them or with them, next to them, saying, yeah, I'm going to cheer you on and I'm going to be here if you need just a shoulder or if you need a little extra strength. And he was like, I never really thought of it that way. He goes, and it's always, he goes, I fight it all the time. I always want to go in and help people or save people. I'm like, and by doing that, you're taking away their power. You got to not take away their power.
Oh my gosh.
I get it. Like, you know, I'm like, you're enabling behaviors that aren't serving their highest good. What if everyone was formidable? Oh, holy crap.
I love that.
That reminds me what you said. It reminds me of something someone, a wise woman recently told me. She told me, because I told her a story about how I'd kind of done something to interfere in someone's life a little bit. And she's like, honey, you got to let other people experience their own karma.
Yeah.
Because like, it was something that was, it was like, to me, I thought it was, what's the word that I used, Brandon, when I told you the story, that I felt it was not, that there was no integrity in what had just happened. And I was associated with such person and I didn't want to see that happening. And then maybe subconsciously I was like, I'm associated with that. And I want to distance myself from that. So I did something that would make that known, that had nothing to do with me. And, but it was, I don't want to do details, but it was interesting. The outcome was interesting. And, I told this lady that I met, and she was very intuitive. Like she was like, yeah, she told me some stuff about the girl that came in, you know, as I was talking about the story. And, well, now, you know, it's a girl.
Yeah.
But anyway, she told me, she's like, you got to let people experience their own karma.
Yeah. And don't make stuff about you that's not actually about you, right? Yeah. Like your judgment or outside, you know, whatever. It's like,
true.
And ultimately it comes back to fear. And what was the other thing I've heard that I talk about? Like low self-esteem. I'm not saying you have low self-esteem or anything like that, but I'm low self-esteem, like people who are chronic helpers and chronic caregivers, it comes from low self-esteem because need to, that's how they feel good, is by helping other people. 100%. I was that person. And I think that, like, I think I was first drawn to the healing arts because I didn't want to heal myself. Like when I very first started, that was 100% like an avoidance tactic, like a coping mechanism to step into. And now I'm like, oh man, I've dug into the things and been in the mud and come through the other side like a bunch of times. And I'm going to do it a million more. I just came out of another one. It was a big shift, you know, and it's like hard and brutal and seeing those old patterns again and again and again. But like now I mean, I've done the work and I'm willing to do the work and I'll continue to do the work, but that means that I can actually hold space from a space of, I'm just here to inspire and be a catalyst for you to choose and take your own actions. And I can give you guidance and maybe have it quicker for you because, you know,
it's experienced.
It took me 3 or 4 decades to come to this point, you know, or 2 or 3 decades to, you know, to get there. And like, you know, I can share some things that can move you faster if you choose to go there, but you don't have to choose to go there. Like you get to drive your car and, you know, I'm just kind of along for the ride. However, I can be that pillar of support, but not ever taking actions for you ever. Like you can't, that doesn't do anything. It doesn't help.
Absolutely not. I was recently telling someone about a book I read several years ago called Boundaries. And the story that stood out to me the most when I first read like the introduction to that book was that this family, this father, mother of this guy came to this counselor and were like, our son needs help. And then, you know, they tried to explain that, oh, we've tried everything. We tried to give him everything he needs and like to go to school and to do this and to do that, but he still doesn't want to do this, that, and the other. And then he's kind of like, well, it looks like he doesn't really need the help. Like basically it sounds like he doesn't really need the help or something to that. I forgot how he said it, but he was basically saying like, it's obviously you guys who've been enabling that because clearly you're here because you need the help. It's not him. Like you need to stop enabling it, right?
But trying to control him, right? They don't even know what he wants. Like, right. What are his dreams? Have they ever bothered to ask?
Right?
Are you just controlling to put him into a box that you want him to be in because it's comfortable for you? But maybe that's not comfortable for him. And it's like, yeah, that's a lot of. It's hard when it's your kids too.
Yeah.
Somebody you're really close to, it doesn't have to be your kids, anybody you're close to, it's hard not to like want it for them and then take action to get it for them when that's, but like pause, like ask them what they want. Do you know what they want? Do you know what most of your friends want? Or do you just assume, you know, some people don't know that for themselves, but so many times we have like, I mean, I was a total control freak because that's how I felt safe. Cause you know, I didn't grow up always feeling safe. And so like, I think it's a common trauma response to just need control.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Totally. That makes a lot of sense.
And to be clear, I was good. Like, I don't want to imply that my parents were some sort of, you know.
Yeah. No, you're fine.
I don't know how to say it. But
it happens to everybody. That's life. I mean, we experience a lot of things growing up and everybody's different and some experience them in different ways. It's not always the same kind of way.
Yeah. And the choices we make, like, I mean, I used to live a very reactive life. I lived in anger. I was mad all the time. And everything I did was to control and make myself feel safe and stay hidden. I didn't want to be seen. So like me, you know, stepping out and now doing things like this, it's like, I mean, I hid this for a long time. I started in 2011, 2012 would be the better, like I started practicing 2012, but in my basement hidden for family and friends and referrals and, you know, only people I knew. And then it was like, I just kept hearing, right? Like hearing, you need to get a studio. Like you need a brick and mortar. You need to be seen. You need to stop hiding. And then when I did that, it was like, suddenly I'm not just doing Thai massage and yoga. I'm doing Thai massage. I'm doing Reiki. I'm doing tarot. I'm doing Zentangle. I'm doing, you know, personal development coaching stuff. I'm doing, now I'm teaching Reiki, which if you would have told me, you know, even 5 years ago that I'd be teaching Reiki, I would have went, that's never going to happen. I'm never going to teach Reiki. Like it took me forever to step into Reiki and actually embrace what it was. And then it's like, but at some point you just go, okay, spirit, like I'm listening to my highest self now and I'll go wherever we go. Let's just ride this wave and see, you know,
that's so awesome.
Who comes into your world. And then the people that come, like people like you, I never would have met you if I wasn't, you know, and it's like people now that are in my world are here, in a healthy, not toxic way versus before I had a lot of toxicity. A lot of toxicity at the expense of myself. That's how I lived. I lived at the expense of myself. And sometimes I worry about, like, particularly the boy I just was talking to, right? Like, and we've had these conversations, like, yeah, but are you living at the expense of yourself? Like, showing up for other people at the expense of yourself is not doing anybody any good. Not you, not them. Like, it's not good. So figure out how you want to show up.
Right.
Yeah.
So you were talking about how you started doing this in 2011 or 2012. And that was what, your business?
Yeah.
So prior to that, what were you doing before you, I'm just so curious because I didn't get to ask you all these questions. So prior, like all you're doing something, you're doing your life. And then your sister tells you about Thai massage and then boom, or were you already doing something like that was more spiritual in that direction already? No. I mean,
so my degree is in child psychology. I taught preschool until I had kids of my own. And I stayed home with the kids because I would have got paid the same amount as it would have cost me to put them in daycare. And I was like, I'm not doing that. Why would I pay someone else to pay my kids and then pay to raise somebody else's kids? That just didn't make sense. So my husband and I had a great big talk and decided like, no, you're going to stay home with the kids. Like, that's what I wanted to do anyway. And then we got divorced. And so I needed to find a different job. And so that career path led me to human resources, doing payroll and benefits at a music college. So I did that for a while. And then they sort of incorporated me into like their wellness plan. Mm-hmm. And right around in there, actually, I think it was before that was when my sister and I took the Thai massage. And then we were like, hey, I kind of want to do both. And then I was doing wellness at the college as well. And then it was like, well, now I need to decide, am I going to put, because I'm not a half-asser. If I'm doing something, I'm either all in or I'm not. So I was like, I don't feel like I can give the Thai massage thing a really proper go if I'm also working a full-time job at the music college, which, to be fair, payroll and benefits. I mean, you know, I'm a people person. I don't want to be behind a desk crunching numbers. Like, I mean, it wasn't resonating. Mm-hmm. Wellness piece was. And then they're like, well, we'll keep you on, you know, on contract to help with the wellness program. And then you can just do that part-time, you know, at when you can, and then do the Thai massage thing. Now, to be fair, my Thai massage business, when it was in my basement, was a hobby business, really. I mean, if I get honest, because I wasn't like out there, you know, advertising it, marketing and promoting it. I was like, no, I want to be in my safe, cozy little box where nobody sees me and I don't have to explain anything. And I can just, you know, perfect it, because I used to be a perfectionist. Like, that's a big part of control, which is the lowest standard you can set for yourself, because your brain knows it's not achievable. And so you never will achieve it. And so you just kind of give up. And it's almost like a weird way of half-ass in life, even though I don't know. And now it's funny, because like, I don't believe in mastery per se. I mean, I think we all strive towards mastery. And when you're doing things like, especially in the, well, anything you're doing, right, you should do your due diligence and get your education, and you should always continue to learn. Like, I don't think, short of, you know, being enlightened, I don't think mastery is actually a thing. I think people are really good at what they do. I'm not saying I don't have skills and I'm not competent and I don't, you know, I'm not one of a really good practitioner. I'm just saying, if you think you've mastered something, then you're doing it wrong. You know? Yeah. I don't know. Which is maybe contradictory, or I don't know.
No, it makes sense, because I heard Eileen McCusick, the tuning fork lady, talking about something very similar when in one of her interviews. She was saying like, she's like, this is simple, like anybody can do it. And I just had to, you know, learn and use my intuition. And she's like, I'm good at it now because I practiced so much and I did it so much, but she's like, I still don't necessarily consider myself like, you know, even so great at it, because there's always something to learn. There's always more. Yeah. So it's just, yeah, it's really cool.
Well, and the reason she's good at it, right, is because she pauses and shows up from heart center and balance. Like, that's it. If you can do that, because here's the other thing. Like, I'm not going to pretend.
She's a Libra too.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm not going to pretend I know something in my scope. If I don't know, I'm going to outsource. I'm going to be like, hey, I don't know how to do that. And we're stuck in this thing. And I have this friend that does this over here. I think you should try that. Or, you know, or find somebody else who resonates with you to do it. But like, I don't think I'm your person for this. Like, I think you should expand out. Or yeah, you just have to be willing to say no, or to say, I don't know. And that's okay. But like, if you're showing up present and you can listen, so you have the formal education and you have the intuition and you have the ability to come to center and to come from that place of, I'm listening and I'm going to pause and make sure that we're in the right space here, you know, and then that person is showing up that same way. I mean, some of the most powerful sessions are when that person also shows up and says, look, I'm terrified. I don't know what shift needs to happen, but I know something big is releasing and I'm ready, but I need help. You know, and sometimes their voice says they're ready and they're not, their subconscious says differently. And sometimes their voice says they're not ready and their subconscious says they are. And I never know. So I don't even take words as for sure. Right. Like, you just got to go show up and listen. And then they do the same thing. And then they're like, whoa, like what just happened? Like, I don't know what just happened, but I feel like it was really crazy powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's like that.
One, but.
Oh, go ahead. What's that?
I don't remember where we were going on down that path that we just,
I don't know either.
I just wanted to bring up that I think that's important for any aspect of any career, because You know, I did comedy for about 7 years, stand-up comedy. So I saw all types of people do. I would go to open mics all the time, and you'd have some of these guys that were headliners that they had this like hour-long set that they just did it all the time. They had it perfected and they would just do it to every audience. And then I would see some headliners that were, they would have an hour, they'd record it, and then they'd be working on other stuff. And they were always going to open mics because they wanted to see what was going on. And they were always trying new things, and they're always adapting and trying to be the best. And they never claimed, those ones were the ones that never claimed they're really good. A lot of the other guys or gals would be like, oh, you know, I'm a great comedian or whatever. And I always saw that. And it's the same thing with DJing too, because I've been DJing weddings now probably since like 2009. And there was a part in there, maybe like in the early 2010s, 11, 12, when I thought I was like a master and I knew exactly what to do. And every, you know, I would basically show up and do almost the same thing. Whereas now I just take every situation as it comes. And the guy who trained me is on that same route too. We used to go to Vegas a lot to go to these DJ conventions. They would have mobile beat stuff. They'd have stuff for like wedding DJs and stuff. And we work with this other guy who he's basically stuck back where we were back then. And I'll work with him sometimes and he just does the same things. And I'm like, hey, why don't you try this? Or what about this? You know, and especially in the wedding industry, no two weddings are really the same. I mean, if you really want to give somebody the experience, because they're only going to hopefully do it once, right? You know, I mean, sometimes, whatever.
But yeah,
I mean, I have been
well,
the best
those
man.
Two at least. Maybe,
yeah, exactly. It's only going to be one with, yeah, it's only, yeah. But you really want to make it the best that it can be. And obviously people make mistakes, things go wrong. But I found that when I realize that I don't know, and then I have to kind of take every situation as it comes. And it's basically what I'm hearing you say with the healing. And the other thing I wanted to say, which I mean, I've loved everything you're saying so far about people receiving all their validation from outside sources, people not listening to their intuition, people taking on other people's energy. I think all this is really important. I just want to say it again, because a lot of people, especially that listen to this show, are probably intuitive, and they might not realize that, because a lot of times they just get in hermit mode and they don't want to hang out with other people. Like I get like that sometimes too, but you know, we are humans and we do have to interact with other people. So if you can learn to set those boundaries and realize that when you're picking up energy that you don't have to, if it's not yours, like you said, you could kind of just let it go, and we don't have to fix everybody. That's not our job. Our job really, I see it, is to just work on ourselves. And then if somebody asks us for help, sure, we can help them out. But I think, yeah, I just wanted to say that because that's really important what you said. And it's a lot of the stuff that we talk about on this show, but it definitely needs to be repeated, you know. We're not going to save the world, everybody. We're only going to save ourselves. Could it be the world isn't meant to be saved, you know?
Dude. Well, and I think when we save ourselves, though, it ripples out into the world. Like you change when you heal. You change when you make a mindful choice to take a different step than you've taken before. And to, like, we can control our inner world. And when our, like for me, my inner world used to be angry and messy. Really angry and messy. And I showed up for people in a very defensive, reactive way. That didn't feel good for most people, probably. Like, I look back and I go, God, you're such an asshole. You know, like so many times, like, what a dick, like, just because you're trying to protect yourself, you know. And I get it, like, I can go send her love now, you know, but now it's like, well, I don't want to show up in that way anymore. First, it's exhausting. Second, it makes all my relationships complicated, all of them. And third, like, I don't know, it doesn't feel good in my body, and it doesn't feel good to the people around me. Like, I don't want to be prickly. Also, I'm not afraid to say, can I swear? Like,
yeah.
Big swear.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I'm not afraid to say fuck off if I need to, right? Like, you know, like when we do healthy boundaries a lot in our choose yourself stuff. And, you know, Dan's favorite phrase is learn to how to tell people to fuck off before you die. And it's like, yeah, like, or could you ever have avoided a conflict or a problem if you would have just, you know, if you'd have just walked away from an asshole? Like, yeah, a million times. Like, I don't need to be around that. And also, I'm not afraid to say, look, you're being an asshole, I'm not going to be around this. And yet I don't have to be an asshole in doing that necessarily, you know, at all. Really, you don't have to be. You can literally just be like, I'm not going to accept this behavior. And that's it. Like, I don't know. I taught people how to treat me my whole life, and it was shitty. And now I'm teaching people how to treat me, and I have the best people in my life.
Yeah, that's the thing. People just fall away if they don't vibe with it. They just fall away. But I find most people do, And we read this quote from Ram Dass probably a couple months ago, where he was talking about if you are interacting with somebody and on any level, if they can tell, even intuitionally, if they could tell that you're not accepting them for who they are, or if you like disagree or you want to change something about them, they automatically, the walls come up and they get prickly or defensive. But if you could just learn to accept them for who they are and then just be yourself. And that doesn't mean, like you said, sometimes you have to tell people to fuck off or you have to build boundaries. But a lot of times we see people in our lives, friends and stuff, that are engaging in behavior that we don't exactly agree with. But it doesn't mean that we have to tell them or remind them about it. If we just kind of let them be who they are, then they might. I mean, because a lot of people probably aren't accepting them. And if then we're the only ones that they're that are accepting them, it's possible then they're going to be attracted to us and then what we're doing. And then they're going to start asking us about it and what we're doing. And then, like you said, that's the way the ripples are going to go out and affect it. And you don't have to do anything. You just have to be yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And circling back to mastery, you said something and it made me think of, like, I don't know if this is a thing, but like confident humility or humble confidence. Like I feel like that's mastery, right?
Huge.
Like,
yeah.
Having this knowledge that, like, yeah, I've done my due diligence and I've studied a lot and I'm coming from an honorable place, so to speak. I don't know. I don't super love that word, but or in that context, but I don't have to know all the answers. And if I pretend, if somebody comes to me and is pretending they know all the answers, I feel that instantly. And I'm like, I'm out. Like, I don't trust you anymore. Like, trust is important for me. And if I don't feel like I can trust that you're coming from an authentic place and that you're willing to show me your limitations, so to speak, which aren't actual limitations, then I don't have the same rapport and trust that, I mean, to be honest, like, if we're healing, if we're working on like stuff, if we're looking to break patterns that are keeping us stuck or, you know, that are not helping us move, like, we need somebody who's able to like get vulnerable and humble and with us and hold that space on a different level than I know exactly what you need to do and I'm going to control this whole entire situation. It's like, yeah, but you just met me 5 minutes ago. Like, can we maybe have a little softer conversation around that? That's not to say that sometimes you don't have to be harsh. Like, hey, I'm gonna call you on your bullshit, you know, but you got to learn what the bullshit is first. And you got to be willing to say, yeah, I'm not familiar with that kind of bullshit, but I know somebody who is. You should go check them out, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I just think it's so important.
Honorable is the right word because the context we use it, because we talk a lot about remaining in honor, and it's actually it's something that has to do a lot with law. So if somebody says something like, if a cop pulls you over and he's like, hey, let me see your license, instead of saying no, you could just say, hey, do I have to show it to you? So you're always asking somebody a question. But it goes back to this, though, because you're just remaining in your truth is what you're doing. You're being authentic. Yeah. You're not being fake. So in that way, you are being honorable.
Yeah, I think the word I was looking for was integrity, which is why.
Yeah, yeah. Same concept.
It's not clicking with me, but it's the same. It's same, but different.
Yeah. It's the word I was trying to find earlier as well when I was looking for a word.
Entirely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Words are hard for me these days, man. They don't work. They're not deep enough. You know, I don't know. I've been having really deep conversations with a lot of people in my life. And it's like, I find words like inadequate so often,
which might sound
weird, but
no. Well,
we talk about that on the show all the time, how we don't think humans are really meant to talk. We're kind of, because I came across this concept about telepathy, and I found out that telepathy isn't really speaking. Like, if I was going to send Sharon a telepathic message, it wouldn't be in words. It's just a feeling that I would convey to her and she would feel as well. So, yeah, that's why I think words are kind of bullshit. And also, before we go any further, you should totally start a podcast with yourself. Yeah, I would definitely listen to that. So, yeah.
He moved to a new apartment. I went to go see it yesterday. I got there at noon and we didn't even like stop talking until 2. We had like a 2-hour deep dive into life. And it was, I don't know. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
I love that he's willing to go there with me. Like, I'm his mom. I'm like, dude, like, are you sure you want to have this conversation with me?
Wow.
I feel like maybe, you know, and then I'm really careful about being clear. Like, look, I'm just asking questions. I'm not coming at it. I'm not trying to change anything. I'm not judging. Like, I'm genuinely curious about what your perspective is on A, B, or C, or I'm genuinely concerned maybe about this particular thing. You know, can we just have a conversation about it? But like, it's not coming from a place of, I don't know. I just have a hard time with putting people in boxes. I really want to get to know and understand the why behind it. And to be willing to say, well, that's not how it feels to me. This is how it feels to me. But now I want to know how you feel about that, you know, which gets complicated really deep that way. I mean, you get into these deep dive conversations of, and sometimes his response in particular, you know, at 21, I think we know less about how to handle emotions or our fear, you know, just, we don't even know who we are. I didn't know who I was at 21. I won't speak for the world, but like, you know, and he'll be like, oh, hang on. I'm gonna have to think about that. Like, I don't actually know. He kept saying, I'm good with my logical mind. And I'm not always as comfortable in my emotions. And I said, you keep saying, I think. I go, what if you just say, I feel? Start saying, I feel instead of I think, because it'll connect you to your heart instead of your brain. And it just will remind you that that's something that you're working on. And he was like, oh. I go, and the other thing is, ask how you want to show up. How do you want to show up for yourself? How do you want to show up in your relationships? How do you want to show up for this particular event? How do you want to show up in this group? How, like, that I worked with a coach for a while, and that was one of my favorite things that she taught me, was just like, how do I want to show up today? How do I want to show up for this difficult conversation? How do I want to show up for this person that challenges me? How do I want to show up for this, you know, this podcast? How do I want to show up for this client? How do I want to show up is one of the best questions ever. And is this mine? Those are my two, like,
yeah, right. I was going to say, is this mine? Is this energy mine?
Yeah. I think that's huge. How do you want to show up? Because it really, it puts you in the present moment. It takes you out of that brain that you're just always like running on autopilot, and it actually makes you think about what's about to happen, and you're very mindful. I really like that one.
Well, and so he was talking about how when he's alone, he's perfectly comfortable and he doesn't have to, and he used to identify as an introvert. He goes, but now I'm realizing I'm not so sure it's that. It's more that when I'm with other people, I'm putting on all these masks. And I go, yeah, because you're worried about being judged and you want to be accepted. I go, but what if you took off the masks and you just showed up? It'll be scary as hell the first few times you do it. But what if you just show up as you? First, you got to figure out who that is or what that feels like for you. But then if you show up as you, life gets easier because those masks are exhausting. They suck your energy so fast. It's like energy vampire, you know, like amplified. Because putting on a mask means you're not showing up authentically on some level. And we all have them right? Like we have different, like I have a different hat that I put on when I'm doing Reiki versus when I'm doing Thai massage versus, but if I'm still coming from center and coming from my heart space, it's just not exhausting because it doesn't take effort or not as much effort as trying to morph into who they need me to be so that I'm liked and loved and feel wanted, you know?
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah. Something you guys said earlier about Reiki and something you guys said earlier about like words and like telepathy and stuff made me think of Reiki, because isn't it just an intuition that you're using and a feeling that you're using to send someone else? When you're doing Reiki, you're sending them a feeling, an energy,
Reiki, right? Energy.
That basically, telepathy is Reiki. I mean, could it be?
I mean, it could be Reiki infused with it. I mean, yeah, that would be a longer conversation for sure.
But okay.
Reiki, Reiki is a specific kind of Reiki. But in my mind, or in my feeling, I should say, not even in my mind, like in my being, it feels to me like Reiki healing energy, prayer, a different kind of Reiki healing energy, another kind of a good thought, another kind of thing. Like, sure, they might all have their own unique vibrations or feelings of light, but they all have the same purpose, and that is love and healing. I guess that's how it feels to me. And oh, that was the other thing I was going to say before when we were talking. It's like when we're talking about mastery and that, my reality that I've come to do or believe, and Dan says this all the time too, is like my, over all of my years, what I've come to realize is that I could be wrong about absolutely everything, because so many things that I was absolutely positive about have turned out to be not true. And so now I'm just like, okay, open mind. This is how I live now. I'm like, okay, this feels authentic and true to me in the now. I'm open to the fact that this might change in a day, a month, a week, a year, you know, and all I can do is show up in the now with what feels authentic and true to me now, but recognize that if someone else has a different opinion, how about we listen to that, you know, and show up from a heart space and then see if it fits right in my heart. And if it doesn't, I don't need to judge them for it, but I also don't need to take it on. But I also can learn a lot from that. Like, oh, I never thought of it that way. Now I want to, you know, Andrew and I did a lot of that yesterday. It was like, oh, I never thought of it that way. Hang on. Let's talk about that for a little bit. You know, it was so fun. It's so different. I love it.
Yeah, I think what happens is people get so attached to their worldview or the way that they see the world or their whatever it is, their vast knowledge or their mastery, they get so attached that they have a hard time letting go. And that's basically what I'm hearing you saying is just non-attachment because you really don't know.
Non-attachment is huge. And I think, you know, what we think we know feels comfortable and safe. And so then that control freak in us or that perfectionist in us tries to keep us there because it doesn't rock the boat in any way, you know, back to that Two of Pentacles. It's not the waves aren't as rocky when we're in our comfort zone, whatever that is. And so to be able to just like uncomfortable for me means growth.
Yeah. I
all about that.
Yeah. I was thinking also of like labels too, because for a very long time, I didn't really like labels. Even when I was considered myself a Christian, I didn't like when people called it, when people were like, well, what's your religion or what religion are you? And I was like, I don't like that word, religion. You know,
like every label has a stereotype, like, right?
Exactly. And so that's why today I don't label myself anything because I don't know what I'm going to think tomorrow. I don't know if there's going to be new information that's going to make me open my mind and maybe change it on some other topic. So I don't like labels.
Well, I think the important thing there is definition. Like, what is your definition of it? There was a moment, this is a while back, but Dan and I were talking and I think he was stressed out about something. And I go, look, I can show up and hold space. And he goes, I don't need that. And I go, I don't think hold space means to you what it means to me. I go, what's your definition of hold space? Like that. I go, how could you not need holding space? Like it is like, to me, hold space means you show up, you meet the person, you listen to them, you hear them. And if they need nothing, you give them nothing. If they need a
you
hug,
just
give
be
them a
there
hug.
For them. Just
or walk away because they don't. Yeah. They need space. Like you listen and let them tell you what they need, and then whatever that is, you show up and give that to them. You are a safe space. There's nothing threatening. There's nothing controlling. There's nothing forced upon them. Mm-hmm. And he was thinking that holding space meant I needed to fix something. I was like, I'm not looking to fix anything. I'm looking to just. Hold space means lessen your stress, show up for you in a way, you know, and it was just an interesting conversation because, you know, his definition of hold space and mine were two very different things. And then when I explained it, he was like, oh, well, that's awesome. You know,
right.
And I can see where, cause I am a giver and a helper and, you know, like I still have that. That's still who I am in my heart. I like to help and show up for people. But now I feel like when I show up and help people, it's in a way that might mean I'm doing nothing or I'm walking away so that they have their power or I'm, you know, sending a little Reiki vibe or a little love or whatever, but there's nothing tangible or hands-on about it. And I totally get why he thought it meant that, especially because like he's been a part of like my journey of evolving in and out of flows of old patterns that were self-sabotage, you know? And honestly, like when you're comfortable in pain or trauma or anger or those things, like it's really uncomfortable to get out of them. It's more uncomfortable to be in the new, better for you vibe than it is to be in the old vibe because the old vibe is familiar and your happy place, even if it's your sad place.
Comfy.
Yeah. So you got to shift out of that. And it was just a really interesting conversation we had because I feel like we communicate very differently too, like how we use our words and our definitions of things. And so we've had to learn how to do that. And I think the same is true when I have the conversations with my boys. Like, well, I just think I assume you know what I'm, because I think so fast sometimes and I get ahead of myself. Like, I assume you know what I mean, but you don't know what I mean. And I haven't articulated it. I haven't communicated it well. And it's like, oh, dang, I got to get better about that. Like, I really need to be more present and more back and forth to make sure that the people in my life are actually understanding what I'm trying to get across. Cause I'm not necessarily speaking clearly from my heart. Cause that's hard for me. Cause I feel like I can't find the right words that feel the same way. Especially if you don't have any empathy tendencies at all. I'm like, oh, can't you just tap in? That's me being lazy.
Can't you just read my mind, please?
Can you feel my energy? I know you can, you know, and the people that can, then I get complacent and lazy. And that's what happens with Dan. Cause I know he can feel exactly my mood, my energy, all of it. I can do the same with him. And it's like, that's dangerous. Like you have to remember, like you can't have that expectation. Like those expectations will kill the joy real fast.
Wow. That's interesting. I was going to ask you about your business and how it all got started, and then how you started transitioning different modalities and different things, and just tell us what you offer and what you have.
Why don't you tell us your website too? We'll put it in links below, but just so people can hear it now.
Yeah. Jai like sky, jaidwellness.com is the website. And we offer, we offer things that help you connect with your highest self, calming down, removing energy blocks, balancing chakras, or releasing tension. I mean, Thai massage is one. Regular massage is another. I have a regular massage practitioner as well. I say regular, that sounds so, I mean, she does a lot of different things with it too, whether it be hot stone, or I think she's doing some cupping and gua sha, which I don't know if you know what that is. It's the scraping that brings the toxins to the surface. It's awesome.
So gua sha, is that what you just said?
Mm-hmm.
Is it kind of like the, what is it called? The Graston method? Is it kind of like that?
Similar. Yeah.
Okay.
And then Reiki trainings, personal development, Zentangle, which is a meditative drawing method, which is really cool. What I love about that is it takes the lot, and I'm this person, I didn't used to think I was creative, the logical brain, and lets it be creative, because it's step-by-step drawing. And I was waiting for surgery and I had so much pain in my body. And that was the only thing I could do that took me out of my body, because I was just engrossed in the paper with what I was drawing. And it was the only thing that gave me relief. I was like, oh, thank God for Zentangle, and then yoga classes. I have a teacher that comes in and does Y12SR, which is yoga for 12 step recovery. So they do an hour of sharing and then an hour of yoga. What am I forgetting? Tarot, astrology. I have a girl who does astrology readings. She's awesome. Tarot, group parties, basically anything you want. We can do group parties. They're fun. And, pretty much all the things that we do can either be done in some sort of a group setting or one-on-one. We do Thai for Two, which is two Thai massage mats on the floor, and you can come together and get, two practitioners and get Thai massage done. Tuxen, Christina and I are definitely going to be doing some Tuxen. That is crazy powerful. I'm thinking about adding it to the beginning of Reiki sessions, because the amount of energy I felt flowing through my body, I was like, oh, for people who don't know what energy in their body feels like, this is amazing. Open up their body and then just let them go away. How cool is that?
How do you spell that?
Toxen. T-O-K and then S-E-N.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
When you were talking about that, I don't know why, but it made me think of when they say that deer are running away from a predator or whatever. And then let's say they escape and they escape into the woods, and then they're by themselves and they can rest. They lie down and they just shake and shiver. They shiver it all out, all the stress, until they're done, and then they're done. And it's we don't do that. I mean, because we don't.
Feeling is about as close as you're going to get. I feel
those tappings, right? I feel the tapping would encourage that letting go, right?
I told Spoons I would record a little video of me tapping and send it to her. I can send it in the big group.
Okay, yeah.
But I left my tools at work. I don't have them at home.
Oh, it's okay.
I'm gonna need more. They're gonna Toxen tools are gonna be like tarot decks for me, I have a feeling.
Oh no, here we go.
That everywhere.
Awesome.
Yeah, just so many good things.
That's so cool. So,
but the other thing is I don't think anyone at JID, any of our practitioners, we're not healers. I don't resonate with that at all. We are catalysts for healing, but we can't heal anything you don't choose to heal. You are 100% in control and in charge of healing.
I had a
client the other day, brand new, comes in and she's like, I'm so open to this. I love it. And then she gets on the table and I start, and I'm like, oh, she's totally blocking me. and then I was like, it's okay. So this is all energetically, but I'm like, it's okay. Nothing has to happen that you're not ready for. We're just here to hold some space and move some energy. And then she just opened right up and she was good. And so I told her about that. And she goes, I do that. I do that with every session. I just have to build trust first. And I'm like, well, you build trust in a snap. But yeah,
Funny.
You weren't ready, but then you were 100% ready.
That is so funny. Yeah.
But I think that's important. I think it's important for people to know, and the other thing is, if you're a person, again, looking externally to get healing done to you, That's not how it works. Like, sorry, you have to do the work. Like, you have to choose it. You can't, I mean.
Right.
Yeah, you're just going to build the dependency on a quote unquote healer. And
right.
Yeah,
right. It's funny. I'm glad you said that you don't like that. Like, you don't use that word, because I always never liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels
weird.
Inappropriate. It actually feels invasive to me to have that connotation with it. Cause I'm just for me as a person who takes time to build trust from just a million things, I don't ever want that forced upon me. Like, I get to choose when I'm going to heal, and I might be stuck in my own way in a stubborn mule, and that's my problem. But I'm coming to you for a reason. And if you can be gentle and safe and hold that space for me, I'm going to burst wide open and it will all be good. But if you're going to tell me that you're going to heal me, I'm going to tell you to fuck off.
No, right.
That's not how it works. I don't resonate with that at all, which maybe sounds harsh. It's not that I'm not open to healing, but no.
It feels very arrogant to me to say I am a healer, and I'm just kind of like, okay.
And I get it. Sometimes you have to, sometimes that's the quickest, easiest way to get the message across, and it just opens a door. Like, I'm not poo-pooing anybody who says that. I don't mean that, but if the energy behind it is, I'm going to heal you, run.
Oh, yeah. Well. And that, it's funny because Eileen McCusick, the tuning fork lady, she was saying stuff like that, like in the good way. Like, she was like, I don't do the healing. You do the healing. I just provide the space for that. And using the forks, using the energy, but like, you are doing the healing. Your body is doing its own healing.
Yeah.
So I liked that. I really liked her.
I love the tuning fork thing. I haven't gotten into those. So I use Tibetan singing bowls in my Reiki sessions with sound healing. And then I did a drum making class. And so I have these drums that I've made, Dan and I have made, that I use in sessions too. And that was like super powerful, spiritual, amazing. Like, oh my God, sky is amazing.
Wow. So at your practice, you said you have some practitioners doing different things. What are the things that you particularly do yourself?
Well, the Zen Tangle? It's Thai massage, but I hesitate to say it because I'm not taking new clients right now.
Okay.
Reiki, tarot. I do some of the Zen Tangle, but I do have another person who does Zen Tangle as well. And then the personal development, choose yourself stuff, which is the deep dive immersion. I mean, I do deep dive immersion summits where you come for a weekend. I mean, we go home in between, and then I'm doing my first ever retreat this fall, which is, we're going to do in Northern Minnesota, like full immersion, whole weekend with a focus on self-love and healthy boundaries. It's going to be freaking ridiculous. Like, ridiculous. Wow. Yeah. But this weekend is when we have our summit, and that is also going to be ridiculous.
Okay. What is going to happen at your summit?
It's a little bit different this time because I have a couple extra people. I have a couple extra people for some fun surprises. I have on our opening night, we basically start to get vulnerable, right? I mean, you're in a room full of potentially strangers, and we need to create like this sacred space. Nothing that happens here comes outside of here. And, you know, you're not required to share anything, but the more you are willing to be uncomfortable and dive in, the more shift you will see happen within yourself. So that's always given. And it doesn't take very long. Usually I feel like we're pretty good as a group about creating a sacred space and letting people know that it's like, you know, theoretically okay to get naked, so to speak, right? Like, just energetically, like, dive in and do the stuff. But so on this time, we're going to do, I've intuitively pulled cards for them and sent it to them and asked them to not look at the words on the cards. Don't worry about like that the tarot card says death, right? Like, just dive into the card and take note, journal about what feelings and what messages it has for you. So I did that with a tarot deck and an oracle deck, and then everybody got their cards, and then we'll talk about that on Friday night. But I also have a body artist coming to do some like sacred body art on us to kind of tie us all together as a thread to connect us all, but also to remind us. She's going to use alcohol inks, I think, or henna, so that it'll stay on us for a little while, so that it will be a nice reminder of the work that we've done the weekend. And then I also have a friend and practitioner who is by day a psychologist, and she's going to teach us how to manage stress and, you know, fight, flight, or freeze kind of stuff, help us work, create a little toolkit for that. So those are kind of the two extras, but the rest of it is working through How do we change our perspective? How do we get to acceptance? How do we have awareness, forgiveness, which is a tricky one, right? Because you can't force that. That's all in time. Well, none of it you can force, but I feel like forgiveness is an especially, if you're somebody who has some like severe trauma of any kind, forgiveness is tricky, but it's more about forgiving yourself. Cause I feel like no matter what, at least that was, has been my experience. Like it took me longer to forgive myself than it did to forgive my abuser. And which is just really fascinating to me how that all works.
It but, always comes back to self.
Yeah. So self-love, healthy boundaries, overcoming fear. It's not that we don't have fear. It's more that we change our relationship to it. It doesn't stop us. Like we can say, oh, this is fear. And then analyze, discern, decide, like, what is this fear about? Is it because I'm not safe? Okay, well, then I'm not going to do that. But is it because I feel uncomfortable and I don't want to face the uckiness that's going to come up within me, right? That's a technical word, uckiness.
I love it.
You know, and then relinquishing, not even relinquishing control, refocusing it. I want to control my inner world, the external world. I want to detach, non-attachment, all those things. So, and like you learn things about like, why is this particular thing important to me? And what is it that's stopping me from getting there? There's so many layers to it. I mean, it really is a full weekend. Like we are in it the whole entire weekend, but it's incredible. I had one year where, a couple people come stick out, but really everybody, they walk in on Friday night looking defeated and disheveled. And they leave on Sunday going, oh my God, I cannot wait to put all these things into my life and just start making the shift happen. But there was one in particular where I had a woman come in and she was just like, I'm done with this life. I'm super, you know, and I was like, well, hang on, like, we're not therapists here. And if you're seriously talking like suicidal thoughts, then you need to go get help. But by the end of the weekend, she had explained a bunch of things that were going on in a loop in her brain. And by the end of the weekend, she's like, I'm committing 4 hours a week to myself and I'm going to, you know, and she was like, wow. All about, I don't know. It was crazy, crazy cool to see when people understand that there are people who can hold safe and sacred space and that there are other people, they're not alone. There are other people who need just as much help and support and healing that you do. There's something about that makes it safer and quote unquote easier to choose the harder life, which actually leads to an easier life. Like it's hard to do the work, but life gets easier when you do it. If you live in the easy life and never do the work, you're just stuck and it's harder. Like it's so much harder to put those masks than it is to show up at a party just as you and not worry about what anybody thinks about you. Who gives a shit? What difference does it make? Why do you have to please the world at the expense of yourself? It doesn't make sense. I mean, I get it. I did it. But it doesn't make sense now that I'm here in this, like, I'm a total, like my, so much, this is a great, this was like the most humbling and amazing. It made me feel so good experience. My first teacher said to me, Michelle, you're different. Like you're taller and your energy just feels better. And I was like, oh my God, like, yeah, 12 years of work will do that for you. You know,
that is, it felt so awesome.
Good to have that, like to have her actually see it. And she viscerally felt the difference. Like my voice didn't used to sound like this. I didn't used to be a confident person. I didn't used to be okay with somebody not liking me I didn't used to be able to say I was wrong. I was like embarrassed or afraid I was going to get in trouble, you know? And now I'm just like, whatever, fuck that. Yeah, I was wrong. Oops. You know,
oops. Exactly. Moving right along.
Yeah. What can you teach me? I would love to, you know, everybody can teach you something. Everyone is your teacher. Everyone. And if
it's,
they make
a mirror, everyone is a mirror.
Yeah. Andrew said something the other day. I go, because they're showing you something in yourself you don't like, you know?
Exactly.
And I was telling Dan about it when I got home. He goes, yeah, I can't remember who said it, but there's some, I think it was a comedian who like said like basically this quote of, there's something about that guy I don't like about myself. I'm like, yeah. That's it. That's it. 100%.
That totally is.
That person that I really don't like about me.
Yes. Brandon and I talk about that all the time.
Yeah.
It's a mirror. Just kind of look back at yourself about it.
Yeah.
But you were talking about like not being judgmental about people and just letting them be and stuff. And it just reminds me of like how I started to do that kind of just naturally with people, and with a childhood friend specifically over the last several years.
Yeah.
And because she and I will come back into each other's life here and there. But I just noticed over time that I could just I should just let her be. Like, she would let me be, I would let her be, and then we could come back and we chat like nothing had happened, like no time had passed, and everything's like, and it's funny because we're almost at the time we would be like in the same place, so to speak, in our lives, like dealing with very similar things, and we both had this point in time where we were being kind of like judgmental of the other. And then I'm just like, I got to the point where I'm like, why am I being like that? Like, I'm doing the same thing. Like, I'm doing the same. I'm doing the same freaking thing. So why am I telling, why am I trying to tell her what to do? Like, so then I just shut the fuck up, you know? And I just, she and I didn't talk for a while. And it was just like, when we came back into each other's lives after that, there was a lot more like, just let it be, yeah. You know, and she felt it. And I know she really appreciates that. She really appreciated that. I like, you know, if it was like, let's try to get together and then we try to do something. And then she was like, honey, I can't make it. Like I da 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 da. And I'd be like, it's okay. Yeah. It's totally okay.
Not about like, you.
Huh?
It's not about you. So it's okay.
Yeah. And it wasn't.
About her and her stuff. Yeah.
Right. It never I was, love that right?
That. I love so, that you yeah. saw that.
And she totally she would say stuff to me sometimes like she appreciated that. Like she felt loved, you know?
Yeah.
Because there was like there wasn't judgment there. And I was there. Like if she needed to talk, I was there. So yeah, it's just, I just started to do it naturally when I realized I was doing the same thing.
That's how you know, it works. Usually those things that drive us crazy, like the judgment thing, the reason we don't like being judged is because like we have that pattern too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody hates being judged, but I'm just saying if it's one of those, if it's one of your things that swirls a lot or comes in over and over again, check yourself.
Right? Or you wreck yourself.
You're doing it too. You're doing it too. I mean, and we are. There's a number of times in my healing journey where I've gone, oh shit, I am a dick. You know, crap. God damn it. I'm an asshole again. Shit. I did that. I'm mad that they're doing it to me. And it's because I'm doing it to them. I'm totally getting what I'm dishing out. Crap. It's so bad.
But yeah.
It's so bad when you see it, because then like, you know, you saw it, you made a choice, and then it felt different even for you and for her. How cool is that?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. And it also reminds me of, you guys were talking about forgiveness. You were talking about forgiveness and stuff. And it reminded me of Aaron Abke. I don't know if you've ever seen any of his videos on YouTube. He has a channel that he does a lot of different series. But one of them that I've been trying to delve into when I have time is called the A Course in Miracles. Have you heard of The Course in Miracles?
I have heard of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you ever want to check out his playlist on A Course in Miracles, I'll send it to you. It's so good. But I like how he boils it down, because it's not him. It's what the course is talking about, but he distills it and it just blows my mind. And because it's really he's just distilling it down to what the course is saying. But what I remember from it is, there's nothing to forgive. That's all I remember from it. And I have to go watch it again and listen again, but it's just like, at the end of the day, there really isn't anything to forgive.
No, only if you're hanging on to shame and guilt.
Mm. Yeah. You know, and you're not supposed to,
you
right?
Right. It's how you let that go. It's how you non-attach, how you detach from that. It's like, yeah.
So.
Yeah. It reminds me of, a lot of this stuff comes back to the Bible, and it reminds me a lot of like the tendency here in Christianity. Like when Jesus was on the cross and he basically said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." He was saying, there's nothing here. These people that literally nailed me to a cross. I mean, maybe, who knows, right? But they nailed this guy to a cross, and he's saying there's nothing to forgive here because they don't know what they're doing. They're just being retarded or whatever. You know,
they're
what I mean?
Acting like, out of right. And that's one of the things that the course talks about is that people are acting out of insanity, and like what is insanity? It's doing, what is it? Doing something that you don't, what's the definition of insanity?
Doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. Is that what you mean?
Maybe, but I forgot how he describes it, but it's like kind of like that. It's like a sane person wouldn't act irrationally, right? Like someone doesn't, okay, so here's an example. I think he said something like, someone doesn't do something to hurt themselves, right? Or to bring harm upon themselves or even other people. They don't do it willfully. It's always because they think that it's a way to protect themselves or defend themselves or, right? So if they're doing something that clearly looks like wrong, but obviously they must be insane, right? To be doing something like that. So you just have compassion over them because they, like Father, they don't know what they do. And then you can just forgive it and let it go.
Yeah,
because they're.
Go ahead.
No, I'm done. I don't have the words. Like, I really need Aaron Abke right now.
Well, I was going to say that's where the insanity plea comes in. I think he mentions that too in court when people try to plead that they're insane. They're trying to forego that judgment because if they could prove that they're insane, then they're not responsible for their actions. Basically, so it's the same thing. We just perceive it as they're trying to hurt us. Because everything we've ever known, we're kind of the center of the universe. So we think it's all about us. It's all about me, man. When in a way you could look at it kind of is in one way, but it's not from the selfish way. So when you're doing that, you're really just assigning different motives to these people that you have no idea why they're doing it. Like you said, they could just be doing it to protect themselves. And they're expressing themselves in a way that's insane. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that you said we are the center of our universe. It totally flashed me back to one of my teachers that's studying Chine Song, which is an abdominal massage, which I do, but I don't have on my website and I don't do it on the regular. It would definitely be like, I need to practice that again and figure it out, but it's amazing. But that teacher, she was saying, she goes, you are the center of your universe. And she had a long mala on that hung like to her hara, right? Like above her navel, like that hara center. And she wasn't saying it from that ego place. She was saying like, when you're leaning over someone, your hara should be over, like right over directly where you're working. And so it was like, you are the center of the universe. In other words, check your body, make sure you're in alignment, make sure you're in the right place coming from center. But we say you are the center of your universe and we assume ego. And she was going the exact opposite on that, which I think is a really cool, again, it's like words and what they mean and how we perceive them and what the perception is and what the stereotype is. And
yeah, that's words get in the way, I think. And that's where people start to take things personally because they hear what you hear. And that's helped me a lot in my life. I really try to not make claims. I just ask questions. And then I will say that to people too. Like, well, what's your definition of this word? Because our definition of it is probably different. Like the word God, for example. I mean, you know, if you tell somebody that you believe in God, some people will like lose their mind, but then you could just explain to them, well, you really just think this is all random. That's all I mean. I just don't think it's random. That's it. I don't say that I like go to church and study this and I have to like get the ashes in my head and eat the, you know, that's not what I mean. But yeah, it's just that one word people hear and it gets so.
And people can take it the opposite way too. Like, how dare you say that? How dare you say God? We're not supposed to say the name. Or, you know, it's not God, it's Father, or it's Yahuwah, or it's Yahweh, or it's like, and then it's
sounds like mind control to me, buddy.
It's crazy.
It's a great way to keep people separated.
You're gonna be offended.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you could get people offended and divided, yeah, that's why I always tell people, I'm like, well, are we talking about division here? What's going on? Are you, you know, yeah, that's a huge one. It's like throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
How dare you?
I was teaching a class and I was like, I got off on my Aquarius all about the we stuff. And I was just like, God, if everybody could just live from a place of love, if everybody could just come to heart center before they do stuff, wouldn't it be amazing? You know? And it's like, I understand it's unrealistic and I get that it's probably never going to happen. I'm like, but a girl can hope, you know, just be nice or don't, but you don't have to take it out on everybody else, work on you, focus on you, which is so sounds like ego and everybody resists that. But it's like, no, not like that. Like work on you, work on your capital S self and see where that takes you. It's totally different.
Right. Place.
And it's way more comfortable once you get into it. It's just hard to get into it.
I feel like we just talked about that, Brandon, on a previous episode about like how self, like you could look at like taking care of yourself. It's probably the week before. So last week's episode, I think, where like you have this whole service to others path and service to self path. And the service to others path really is about self-love first, because when you love yourself, you can love others. You can't do it without loving yourself first, right? But the service to self path is self-centered and arrogant, and you know what I mean? So it's like narcissistic. So that's why people don't like, there's a lot of Christians out there who will be like, that's demonic and evil and satanic and all these things, right? But they don't get that there's two sides to it. And yeah, so they just like demonize it.
Yeah, I think it comes down to, because I remember we were talking about the difference between selfishness and selflessness.
Yes.
I think a lot of it has to do with, are you trying to just fulfill and meet all your sense pleasures and desires and trying to fulfill your wildest dreams? And in a way, it's like where you're just trying to chase your desires, or are you actually showing yourself love, and are you putting yourself first in a way where you're setting boundaries and you're
healing wounds?
Yeah, you're healing wounds and you're trying to become a better version of yourself. Are you engaging in escapism? You know, like, are you drinking all the time or whatever it is that you're doing, and you're just trying to push all that stuff down, or are you addressing it as it comes up? And I think that's really the difference. And if you get confused, I think the desire one is the easiest way to look at it. Is like, are you trying to satisfy your desires? You know, unless you have a desire to heal yourself, and then you can use that desire to work with it. But yeah,
very good. Very, very well said. Thank you. Thanks. I was all jumbled up.
Yeah.
Oh, so I have a random question for you, because I had a Reiki session maybe, I don't know, a couple of months ago. And all that came up for her was, she said, like, there was just like very, okay, so she talked about the different, like, I guess you would call them rings. I don't know. I'm just going to call
layers,
them rings.
Layers.
Yeah. Where like as you go further out, it's more like when you were like out here would be like when you were born. And as you get further in, it's like closer to where you are now. She said that all the stuff that was kind of closer to the center was just really like little stuff. But as she went further out, like when she got to the very end where like being born or whatever, she said all she got was like being born trauma, like trauma of like being born, like birth trauma or something like that. And then she basically said like, but don't we all have that? If we were born in a hospital, don't we all kind of have some of that going on? But so I personally like to try things out. I don't think I had ever intentionally had like a one-on-one Reiki session with anybody before I had that one. So I mean, I like to see how things go and try something new, right? So I just wondered, like, when, like, if that were to happen with you and a client, and you only found like one alleged major thing. Oh, she said that she actually brought it in and then, like, I don't know, cleared it. I don't even know what that means, but I guess my question would be, what are your thoughts on that?
That's a big question. Well, first of all, I don't think you have to get any intuitive hits or downloads when you're doing Reiki. I mean, the idea, at least for me, the idea of being in Reiki is to be in Reiki. That being said, I find that clients have an expectation of something.
I actually didn't. I had no idea.
But I also find that if I don't block my intuition, I do get downloads and things that come in. Sometimes I have things that come in that don't make any sense. Like, I'm like, I don't know what this means, but here it is. And you might not know what it means. You might figure out what it means. You might not, but they showed it to me. And like, for me, if I get an intuition during a session, I feel like I need to say it. I feel like it's my job to say it. I don't feel like I should, I feel like it's yours. It's not meant for me. It's meant for you. So why would I keep it inside? Even if I don't understand it, I guess that's how I work. I don't necessarily work with the auric layers in that way. I mean, my training is my training with layers is both Reiki and yoga. So I don't know that I've necessarily heard of the outest one, the outer, the most, but there's so many different kinds of layers and ways of layers. I'm not negating that what she said was true or not true. For me, with the Reiki and the like outer layers working inward, the energy that's in our outer layers, usually for me in my sessions, the energy that I find there is, or the way I was taught, I'll say, because it's not always true. I'm like doing this. I'm like, nope, that wasn't true then. is outside of our physical body. Eventually it will work its way in through the layers into the physical body. Once it gets to the physical body, then it's dis-ease in the body, which eventually becomes disease in the body, right? So like most of my clients, when I find stuff in the auric layers, it's usually it's because they're an empath and they're taking on other people's stuff and they don't know it and they don't know how to clear it and they don't know how to set up their, I call it my bubble, right? Like I have a golden egg, or I have like, you can think of like the, what is it? The fairy godmother in the Wizard of Oz. You know, you have like that bubble around you that's energetic, that is seals and protects you. But if you don't know how to release all the energies that you're picking up, you know how when you walk into a room and you're like, oh, something bad happened here, or somebody just got done fighting, or they're in the middle of the fight, but you didn't even hear it and you know it's there already. Cause you can, I'm guessing you can feel that because you could feel me in the car. Right. So it's like you felt me in the car and you took that on and kept it as your own. Like that is in your energy then.
Yeah, I guess. And then if you don't, I guess you don't, I never knew before that. I didn't know.
So to clear that, I mean, I think clearing the auras and the body, the physical body, sometimes I'm called to, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to directly answer your question other than to say,
that's okay.
I think what comes into Reiki sessions, if you trust the practitioner, like there's always a message there for you. The other thing, like when I get intuition, sometimes they speak to me in like terms that I understand that maybe my client wouldn't, and I need to interpret it. For instance, like I know a little bit about Ayurveda. So sometimes I'll get like, oh, they're stuck in kapha. Like that's what I hear or see or feel or know. I sometimes have care. My biggest one is probably claircognizance, which means I just get a knowing, like I know something. I don't learn dirty little secrets. Don't worry about that. Like, I think people worry about that. Like they don't show me that stuff. That's not mine. It's not mine to see. I don't see that stuff. You know, so they'll say like they're stuck in kapha, and then I can then translate that and say, oh, you know, maybe you've been feeling a little sluggish. Maybe you've been eating heavier foods. Like if you could try and do a little more movement, maybe even like, you know, knock your thighs when you wake up and maybe just try and get some heat in your body. Cause it's cool and cool right now, you know, like that, that's how that'll come in for me. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, birth trauma, maybe. What does that mean to you? I guess that's what I always say to my clients. Like the other day I saw yellow and I'm like, I know what yellow means to me. Like I can go to third chakra and confidence and willpower and like the sun card and tarot. I mean, there's a lot of things it means to me, but like, what does it mean to you as my client? And, you know, and then she rattled off and I didn't tell her any of that. Cause that's not like that one. I just heard this is hers. She needs to determine what yellow is. So for me, it's like, what does birth trauma mean to you? Does it mean you have, I mean, I can offer some suggestions, right? But, or do you want to look at that and figure it out for yourself, you know?
Right. And that was an interesting thing because I had no like real awareness of that. I mean, I know that one of my sisters, she had to be helped with a device to be pulled out. But I don't think that happened to me. So like, I don't know what that would mean other than like you're in a hospital setting, which is not natural birth at home, you know, it's like, it's, I guess it's potentially traumatic, but I don't have a I don't have anything that I can think of that would be associated with why that would be specifically traumatic for me. So,
yeah. And I'll say this, and a couple things. First of all, just as humans, anytime anybody tells us anything, we run it through our own story first, right? Like we have our own video that how we hear things, how we always make it personal, always. Right. It's human nature. It's what we do. So even as a Reiki practitioner, as much as I'd like to say I'm always in Reiki and I'm in this divine, you know, intuitive mode, I'm still human. I still have my own filter that comes through whether I want it to or not when I speak to my clients. So like for me, I have a specific kind of trauma from my childhood. So sometimes that comes in for me and then I articulate it to my client, but maybe I could do that in a different way or a better way than I did because it's triggering something in me. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So, and I'm thinking of a very specific instance that this happened, but in that case, it was like, it came in, she said something to me, and then I heard that I was supposed to tell her my story. And when I did, she started to cry and she said, "Thank you. I feel like I'm not alone now." And that was really helpful. But that's a slippery slope, right? Because I don't want to project trauma onto somebody else. But I also, and I'm not saying she did that in any way, shape, or form. I'm not negating the power of her session or her healing capabilities or the way she holds space for other people's healing. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying like it is a slippery slope as a practitioner to hold space for other people when stuff comes in for you and it sets something off in you that is something that you've worked hard to heal or that maybe still needs some healing. I mean, we always still need healing. Like how you bring that up for a client and how they receive it. Like it's not always even about that. It's like you are your own guru and you are the one who needs to get quiet and listen and see what it means to you. Because sometimes things that come in for me for Reiki, like there was one session I had where I just kept seeing Egypt. I was like, I have no idea what this means, but there is some message for you in Egypt or about Egypt. Or I'm like, I don't know if it's about the gods and the goddesses. I don't know if it's about the pyramids. I'm like, they kept showing me the pyramids. I don't know what it means. It might mean nothing to you. But like in that moment, like, the fact that they gave me no other information, that was the only thing I saw in my head. I was like, okay, like this is theirs to figure out, not mine to project onto them. And they might never figure it out. And that's okay. Cause some people are so attached to the knowing, like I have to know, like when I first started to do Thai massage, the first time I went to Thailand, my teacher practiced on me for over 2 hours. And I cried like I've never cried before. I had noises coming out of me. I didn't even understand. I was like, who is that person? I was like, I was outside myself, seeing myself bawl. I didn't get it. And there was a piece of me that was like, I want to know what I just released. I want to know what that was. I need to put a label on this thing so I know what I let go of. And I never did. And then I kind of talked to my teacher and she was like, you know what, Michelle, sometimes you just need to let go and detach completely. And I was like, okay. And I did. And I don't hang on it anymore. I know I released some pretty powerful, I don't know, dark stuff. That's how it felt, right? Felt great. But I don't need to label it or to hang on to that thing. So it might just be like, you're reflecting on, huh, I wonder what that birth trauma could be. And then whatever that pings for you is maybe where you laser focus and pinpoint and look into, or maybe it's simply like, oh yeah, I guess we kind of do all have birth trauma. And what do hospitals mean? You know, like there's so many layers to where it could go.
Right.
And it's hard because as a practitioner, sometimes I get really specific information about like, they're telling me you need to like, I just had one, like, they're telling me you need to, you know, start practicing meditation 3 minutes, 3 times a day, just to learn how to get out of your messy mind and into your middle. And it's going to be uncomfortable. Like, that's a very specific download. Right. Yeah, and I'm just like, that feels like I'm being bossy, but I also don't believe it was coming from me, but she might go home and never do that. Or she might go home and go, oh, I'm not doing that, but it led me to this other thing. And that's actually the thing I was supposed to find. So I guess I don't believe in absolutes is where I'm going with that.
Absolutely.
And it's you get to decide what that means for you. And if it doesn't feel true for you, then it's not true for you. And if it does feel true for you, it doesn't mean that because the word trauma is there, that it has to be some big thing that you need to heal. It might just simply be like, well, yeah, so many things are traumatic.
Right.
I mean, you know.
Exactly. I honestly didn't take it on. I was just like, I don't really know what that means. And I don't identify with birth trauma. Like, yeah, I get it. Like you said, yeah, I get it that we are like born in hospitals and things happen in hospitals that don't happen at a home birth. But yeah. It is what it is. Like,
be fair, isn't all birth traumatic? I mean, you know, I mean, what difference does it make? I don't know. I'm just thinking that can't be comfortable. You know,
Either way.
I've done it twice, once with a C-section and once not. And either way, it didn't seem comfortable for any of the involved parties. And, you know, I mean, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I'm not saying anything good, bad, or indifferent. I'm just saying I do find like Reiki sessions tricky because I do get information. I do get intuitive downloads. And then when I give them, it's like, there's so many layers to it for me. I don't want them to come in. I usually see three animals. I don't want them to be disappointed if they don't get three animals, but I'm not giving them three if I don't get three.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're to hearing an animal, well then like that's an attachment. Like we don't need to create those attachments. Right. So it's like, I don't know, you know, Right. Everything has layers of good, bad, and indifferent to it. And it's like, how do we step into it? How do we sit with it? But the other thing is like, I mean, now my sessions, they give me information. I say it, I get the animals, I read the animals. The animals just say everything I just got in the other information. It's just re-saying, but there's always one that's like, oh, that says it better than it came in for me. And that's really loud. Like my goosebumps are really loud on that one. So that one, maybe pay attention to and see how it feels, how it sits with you, what maybe action you might want to take or not around that particular thing. I don't know. It's just, it's right. tricky, man.
Yeah. I love it. I love the non-attachment and I love the fact that it is what it is and it doesn't have to be a thing. Like there's layers and it can mean lots of different things and you just take it where it takes you.
Sometimes we're attached to things being wrong with us because we feel better in the injuries or in the uncomfortable and also it gives us significance, right?
Oh, yeah.
I get to go tell you my sad story and then you feel bad for me and you give me all this love and attention. That's awesome. I don't want to lose that. I have to have another thing wrong with me. I'm going to look for it.
Yeah. I don't know what was the show House that talked about Munchausen's. I think that's where I first heard it, which it was always like somebody would come in and they'd always have to have something wrong with them. And I just could never personally identify with that because I'm like, I don't want anything wrong with me. Like, I don't.
So
I want to just be healthy. Like, I don't want to have things wrong with me just to get attention. Like,
yeah. So the flip side of that, because you're on the other end of the spectrum, right? On the other side of the thing is like, check yourself. Like, is it important for you not to have anything wrong with you? Is it coming from a perfectionist place or is it coming from a truly genuine, balanced, healthy place? Like we always have to check ourselves. And
I
ask questions.
Concur because it could very well be a perfectionist thing for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think like asking yourself those questions, like why am I even still thinking about this? Or why is it important for me to have some sort of a thing wrong with me, to be a victim? Why am I living in victimhood? Why am I living in scarcity? Why am I living in like all of the things that we choose? I think being inquisitive with yourself, like being inquisitive with myself has been maybe one of the biggest pieces in the healing process is just like my lesson here, you know, what can I learn from this? What is this a pattern? Like, you know, is this a pattern? Is this another one of those like, oh, I have a type in all of my relationships. I have a type in all of like the businesses that I choose or the, you know, like we do, but it's hard to see them for yourself.
Right. Until we do the shadow work and start asking ourselves questions.
Yeah.
Awesome. Exactly.
Shadow work, inner child, all that stuff.
So like, one thing you said I wanted to go back to was when you're taking on other people's energy and how to release it. What's a method that you use for that? Or what would you suggest for other people that are experiencing that?
I mean, this resonates with me because of my Thai massage. So it might not be for everyone, but like for me, spending time in nature for sure, because my feet are my drains. My feet are where I let stuff go. So for me, even just like talking about it, my feet open up and I can feel stuff going. But if I can do that outside barefoot in the grass, or if I can sit by a tree and ask nature to take it on, I can, for me, I can visualize and ask that anything that's not for my highest good be released to the earth's core, to be transformed for the best and highest good. I mean, I don't want to just leave all my energy that's like, I don't want to leave it laying around, right? I don't want to pick it up again. I don't want somebody else to pick it up. I'm going to release it to be transformed or neutralized or whatever. But it's, everybody's different. I mean, you can take a shower and set the, everything is about intention for me. Every training that I've ever done has been set your intention, you know, but it's not just like, I'm going to say it, but I don't feel it in my being. No, like set your intention is like, this is true, you know, and I'm going to release what's, you can do, you know, smoke clearing, you can do a shower, you can connect to earth, you can go for a walk in nature. For me, it's releasing through my feet and putting up my bubble. And then, I mean, on the regular, I'm asking, you know, if I'm feeling stuff that does makes me feel heavy or like it's not mine, I ask if it's not mine. And if it's not, I don't take it in the first place.
Yeah.
And everybody's different. Some people can't visualize, you know, some people visualize and isn't their thing. I can also set my hands on the ground and just add, you know, and I breathe, like they start tingling and I can kind of feel energy moving. And it's like, I just want to go. You can like brush yourself off, like just, you know, get rid of it. It's whatever resonates most for you, but grounding is protection and grounding can really help with releasing. So if the word grounding doesn't, I mean, it's such an overused word, but if you don't feel grounded, you know, walk literally feeling your, like intentionally feeling each foot hit the earth and just, I'm connecting with earth. I'm connecting with healing. I'm connecting with, you know, and I'm releasing. You can just walk saying the word release. There's a million ways you can do it, but it has to really vibe with you. Or it's just, you know, like that's important.
All right. Yeah. Right. Thanks. I think you're right. Just having that intention and wanting to do it, it doesn't really matter how, but I like that grounding thing because we came across something recently. I guess it was an old druidic practice where the druids would go into the woods and they would find a tree that was in the woods and they would either touch it or get in its field and they would just release all their negative energy, all their fears, all their problems onto the tree. And the way that they explained it was that that's what trees really are meant for. It's kind of like how they scrub our, you know, we breathe carbon dioxide out and then the trees take it in and make it oxygen. So it's in that way, that's a physical way, but this is more of like a spiritual way that they can help us heal. Yeah. And I do that in the woods all the time. Yeah.
Sound can also be releasing. Sound, dance to music, play your singing bowls, play your drums, play your tuning forks, play your, you know, you go get a toxin session or Reiki, right? There's lots of different ways, but to do it on your own, it's that. Yeah.
Awesome.
So just a quick question, because we're getting closer to the 2-hour mark, right, Brendan?
Yeah.
So when you said smoke, you said something about clearing it with smoke or something like that. Do you mean like lighting up a Palo Santo or a sage or something like that to clear
it? Yeah, if that's something that resonates with you and you do.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I like, so I learned this in yoga and I encourage you to research it exactly yourself because this was ages ago and it's not a practice that I do all the time, but we learned it. I think it's called Trataka or Trataka. Do you know what that is? It's candle gazing. You literally put a candle so that your gaze is just a little bit down and sit in front of it and like just stare at the flame. And then until you like feel like you need to blink, but try not to blink, right? And close your eyes, see the flame still in your third eye, open back up again. See, so the tears are healing as well and releasing. So it's like, you know, when you sit and stare at the candle, it does your tears, but I don't want to like, this is a long time ago for me and I don't practice it. And I'm really careful about being authentic in my practices and not, but I don't know. I just, it came into my mind. So I feel like I'm supposed to share it, but definitely research it. Don't just start doing it. Make sure you're doing it safely or find a practitioner that does it. But I love fire. And that was one that like, when I was in my yoga teacher training, man, that released some serious stuff for me. You know, sometimes I'll like write on a piece of paper. I mean, and you could do this with energy too, right? Same thing. Like may all the energy be released from my being. Anything that's not for my best and highest good be released from my being and burn it, you know, any sacred ritual, I'll put it that way. Any sacred ritual with that intention of release and ground and protection, release, ground, protect.
Well, I think that's perfect.
Take it all in again.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think that's perfect. That brings us full circle right to the beginning quote. We're talking about light and candles.
Yes. So,
wow. I think that's good. Unless you have any other questions, Sharon.
I don't think I do.
All right. Well, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you again and where they could follow you also if they're interested in that.
Yeah, jidwellness.com, and all of the stuff is on my website. And then I also have an Instagram. I think that one is Jai D Studio because Jai D Wellness was taken, and then Facebook as well. So, and you can reach out anytime, email. I think my Facebook is connected to WhatsApp as well. I'm pretty sure. So yeah, any which way you want to reach out, I'm good. And
and do you do just a quick question? Do you do distance stuff now with Reiki and stuff like that?
Distance Reiki. I haven't put another distance Reiki training on the calendar yet, but I'm thinking that that might be coming as well. I just kind of wait and listen and see where I'm guided.
Okay.
Yeah. I would definitely be open to doing a private distance. The thing about distance training is it is just a lot. I find it, for me personally, a lot harder to teach because if it's a group of people that don't know each other, they're less likely to engage. And the back and forth in Q&A is so much of the learning. It's so important. And maybe that's just been my experience and maybe it'll change and shift, but
yeah. No, I mean, I like that, like a smaller crowd. Cause I know that, Spoons did it and Ashley did it, and Spoons really, really enjoyed it. And, she liked that, you know, she knew Ashley already and she knew you already. So it was just a really good, back and forth.
The online Reiki for me feels like it vibes best if it's like a private group that want to do it together as a team, so to speak. And it's not to say I won't ever shift into something else, but that's how it's vibing for me right now.
Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, after I'm in studio, but you want to come to Minnesota?
I would love to.
Minnesota.
Maybe
Minnesota.
One of these days.
Don't you know?
are people coming to your event from all over or just from Minnesota?
Just from Minnesota. At least for now. We'll see. I haven't had anybody out of state yet.
Okay.
I think that's coming.
Okay. Well, have you published that information somewhere that people can register if they
the summit? You mean for the choose yourself?
Go into to go to your what did you call it? A retreat?
Oh yeah, it's all on my website. The retreat, you have to come to a summit first because we cover so much in the summit, and the retreat is more focused. Eventually, I'll probably morph it into like a whole beginner thing, but I knew a lot of my clients who have been in the summits for, you know, they come to a lot of them. I'm like, I don't want them to have to start at ground zero at a retreat. I want to dive in deeper to other things.
Got it.
But I do have like an ongoing choose yourself monthly subscription and a year long program, or if you really want to dig in and start making some shift, like that is available as well. There's lots of different options. I tend to, I don't know, I just listen and do.
Awesome. Wonderful.
Yay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Yeah, I think a lot of what you said, people need to go back and listen to this again and integrate it in their life. A lot of the healing that you've done to yourself is it's a really great guide for other people to hear. I mean, you know, I've done a lot of studying with this stuff myself, and a lot of the things you're saying really resonate. It's like there's this message that seems to resonate and to echo out through all these other great teachers and holy people, whoever they are. The real ones that aren't trying to scam you. It's really that it comes down to, you know, working on yourself. You don't need the validation from exterior sources, and you can't heal anybody else. You know, you can only fix yourself, and everybody's a mirror. It's all that stuff. So, and that's the stuff we talk about all the time. So it was great that we had you on, and that's what you talked about. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It was see really you guys again.
Awesome. Well, Sharon, what do we say to the good people?
That if you're not oversharing,
then you're totally not caring.
That's right.
So keep oversharing, everybody. Oh, I forgot. Go to our website and hello, chat. How's it going? And if you want to support us, you can go to morelawsmoreproblems.com. Click on the oversharing tab. Plenty of ways to support us there with donations. But the best way to support us is to just leave a comment below or show up every Thursday night. And we do a live chat when we premiere these and just hang out and chat with us. That's our favorite. So, all right, everybody. Thanks and take care.